Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
Yep, you are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Adatula here alongside Chris Partee for the day. Appreciate you hanging out with me, my man.
The show.
Colin Neal on the ones and twos. And right now, joining us on the hotline, he is a Missouri City native. He writes and does a podcast for The Ringer. And his name is Joel Anderson. Joel, what's happening, my man?
Man, appreciate y'all having me on, Rez. I've been listening to 610 my whole life. I don't think I've ever been on the air here. So oh, it's here a big deal for me. I grew up with 610. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. And so I'm glad to have been able to facilitate this, and I'm very happy that you thank me. Like, you are not doing me a favor right now.
That's true. But we're doing each other a favor, brother. You know,
I appreciate it. That's right. And the next time you need a favor from me, I'll make sure I make that happen with post haste. All right, okay. let's start here with the national championship game in which Ohio State defeats Notre Dame. The first question is Ohio State still going to try and fire their coach after winning a national championship?
Well, I mean, you know, it is sort of a weird championship, right? Because by most definitions, Ohio State season was a success. They went 14-2. They looked dominant throughout most of the year, and they finished as national champions. But if you go back and talk about some of the things that they wanted to do in the preseason, such as win their biggest rivalry game and win the Big Ten Conference, they didn't do either of those things, right? So it's sort of obviously Ohio State fans are happy about winning the national championship. This team delivered on its promise that it showed even before the preseason got started. Like, once they started signing guys out of the portal, everybody identified this as a team that would do this. But, yeah, they're still – I mean, I don't imagine that they'll be handing out those T-shirts. You know how when a championship team wins, they get the title and then they make a T-shirt for them and they put the schedule and they show every game on the schedule. They're probably not going to do that this season because there's no way that they want to look at that Michigan loss on that shirt forever. So, yeah.
Yeah, I 100% get that. You wrote a very interesting piece about this game as you were covering this game in Atlanta. Actually, I believe you are on your way, trying to make your way out of Atlanta at this moment.
I am.
During that game, I think you wrote a very interesting piece entitled Ohio State is College Football's First NIL National Champion. I'm very interested in that concept. Like, what do you make of, like, this new distinct era of college football? And what is the distinction for you? Is it simply the NIL aspect?
Well, I mean, the thing is if you want to compete at this level, it's going to look probably a lot like what Ohio State did. Maybe it's a little bit of a misnomer, right? Because Michigan, the year before the national championship, they used a lot of NIL money, but it was mostly to retain their own talent, you know, guys like Blake Corum and things like that. But what Ohio State did is that they said, well, we're going to retain our potential NFL draft picks, but also we're just going to happen to take some of the best players in the country from other people. Right, so they went and got Quinshon Judkins out of Ole Miss. They got Will Howard out of Kansas State. They got Caleb Downs out of Alabama. So you know they really went shopping, man, and they put a lot of money on those guys, and they sprinkled a little around their roster. And that's a model that a lot of people are going to try to do, but it's going to be very hard to do it at the level that Ohio State did because not very rarely is a Caleb Downs going to come out on the market and. You know, no offense to Texas Tech, he's probably not going to go to no Texas Tech. You know, he's not going to go to University of Houston. That talent is going to be concentrated among the few schools like Ohio State or whatever. But I can't imagine Michigan looked at that last night and was like, hey, we couldn't do that. I can't imagine Georgia looked at that and said, maybe we should go shopping like that. So you can imagine that this is the sort of thing that might kick off a real arms race in college football all over again, which I'm all happy for because, look, as long as the kids are getting paid, which has always been the problem for me with the sport. If they're getting their money and they're getting their benefits out of it and still getting to play and playing these big games and the fans get to be happy anyway, I mean, what could be wrong with that?
That's an interesting concept, and I agree in the basis of it. The thing that I question is, it's still all Wild West, right? We have not really established some good parameters and guardrails on it. Like, do you feel like this space can continue in the way that it is, so largely unregulated and kind of, you know, all over the place? Can we really just continue the Wild West of this all? And I guess that's kind of crazy to ask about college football. Or does this kind of have to be reined in?
Well, I mean, it could last this way, right? I mean, there's nothing stopping it from being that way. And did it? I'm guessing nothing that has happened in the past couple of years has affected your enjoyment of the game, has it?
No, not me personally, but I also recognize I'm a sick human being when it comes to college football. But yes, to answer your question, no, it has not.
No, right. But I mean, I think the thing is that we know that there's going to be some sort of, you know, there's going to be some sort of settlement, and eventually there's going to be revenue sharing. And with that, there'll probably be some limitations on transfers. And, something akin to like salary caps and things like that. All these schools are sort of gearing up for that future. And it may be 2 years away. It may be 12 years away. So we know that it's not going to be like this forever. But in the interim, it's going to have to go on this way, because they can't, the NCAA and its member institutions, they're not really permitted to put any restrictions on, what these kids are able to make. And I mean, really, the thing is, there's some interesting test cases, man. I mean, there's even a legal question as to whether or not a guy can't play 10 years in college, right? I know that feels like there are a few dudes that have done that already.
It feels like it.
Yeah, there are a few dudes that feel like they've done that already. But, like, there's things like that that are sort of an open question. So, I don't anticipate those things getting resolved anytime soon. And also, like, it's going to depend on they're going to have to lean on Congress. They're going to have to work some of this out through politics in the court system. And I mean, if you think that that's going to be, that's going to be a top priority, or that it's going to be the sort of thing where, you know, it's going to go in an orderly, smooth and orderly, fashion through the court system, then, I mean, you're sadly mistaken. So I get the feeling that we should get used to this for a while. So yeah, man, if you're a fan of University of Texas, good for you. If you're a fan of University of Texas A&M, good for you. I mean, you'll probably have the money to get the guys that you want. It's people that, the little fella like me, my alma mater, TCU, will be the ones that sort of suffer right now. But I don't think for fans of these big programs that they're not going to have to sacrifice that
I don't
much.
Think I've ever heard a TCU fan or a TCU sound like try and sound broke. That is crazy to hear.
I need sympathy.
TCU don't got all that money.
You know, we're not working with Texas and Texas A&M.
No, that is
not. No, not like that.
We ain't working with LSU. God, we're a little engine that could. Now, I mean, it should be sad to those other programs that TCU is still the only program in Texas to advance to the national championship game in this era. Okay. But, that's
all right.
Enough.
I should have expected
that. Had to throw that in there. Hey, Joel, Chris.
Well, Kirk. I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm not mad at it. Throw it in there. You kind of got into what I was going to ask you there, but I'm like, so, okay, now we talk about NIL and I guess Ohio State kind of being the model now, but like, what is the tipping point? It really is the Wild West right now with all this NIL transfer portals, all these things. Like, what is the tipping point? What is going to get us to, I guess, a situation of where you're talking about, I don't want to say to where it makes it a little more fair or even, but I guess that's what I am saying. Like, what is the tipping point with this, with all the NIL stuff?
Well, it's kind of tough to say, man, because, I mean, think about how things have just tipped in the favor of the big schools. And I mean, the thing is, it really hasn't equaled out that way. Like, for all the money and all the talent that Ohio State acquired, they still were sort of an underwhelming team, as I mentioned at the top. Like, they didn't even beat Michigan, and Michigan wasn't good this year. But you're asking me about a tipping point. Well, I don't know. Like, what if Jeremiah Smith went in the portal right now, was like, I'm not coming back to you. I'll pay you $2 million, right? Like, you could see something like that moving people and being like, oh, we got to get our arms around this. Or what if Arch Manning goes into the portal next year, right? And he decides to do it again. He just does it every year for every 4 years he can. Kind of like, I don't know if y'all follow Bear Alexander. That's the homie that was at Georgia, and then he was at USC, and now he's out at Oregon. He's a defensive tackle, right? So, I mean, there's guys that could do that, and you could imagine how that would antagonize fan bases, administrations, conference commissioners, and everybody else. And there might be some, there might be some urgency in getting their arms around this. But, I mean, look, man, like I said, Chip Kelly left UCLA to go be an offensive coordinator. Caleb Downs left Alabama. Like, typically, a safety at Alabama, that's about a sure ticket if you get to the NFL. But he's like, nah, I'm going to go on and play up at Ohio State. So, I mean, those should be tipping points in a manner of speaking, and it hasn't really moved people yet. I mean, I know that there's a lot of work behind the scenes trying to get their arms around this stuff, but, I mean, I still think we got a long way to go, man.
Yeah. We're talking to Joel Anderson of The Ringer. He was at the national championship game yesterday, and I haven't really leaned into that part of it. You did mention Jeremiah Smith. How in the actual you-know-what did Notre Dame allow that man to go that free in that kind of portion of the game in the fourth quarter when you're trying desperately to try and get back into it?
Well, man, I think the thing is that everybody kept waiting on Ohio State to take a deep shot. Like, I predicted it in the second quarter when they were up 14-7 and then 21-7. I was like, at some point, they're going to try to take the top off the defense, right? And they just never really did it. And so they're facing 3rd-and-11, you know, a few minutes left in the game, and this really could ice it. And I guess the thing is, because Notre Dame had not been giving them that, they'd not been giving them that look all game, and Ohio State had been settling for underneath stuff. So it was like, that's why you hired Chip Kelly as your offensive coordinator, right? It's just like a perfect, just think about everything that has to go, that has to come together to do that. You got to get Will Howard, a low-round NFL prospect, available. You got to get Chip Kelly, the former UCLA coach, the former Oregon head coach that revolutionized offense, to call that play. And then at the other end, you've got maybe the best receiver in college football since Larry Fitzgerald, right? Oof. And so, like, that, it took all of that to work. It took all of that to work. So, I mean, like, you can blame Notre Dame for letting that happen. But when you think about it in those terms, it's like, how did that happen all game? You know?
Right, right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was just the natural consequence of Ohio State playing the waiting game, and it was a great call and a great hookup between great players.
It was a great call, and I think you did a great job of laying out, okay, but this is Ohio State. This is the benefit that you have of being Ohio State. Chip Kelly, his name has come up around Houston, not just because of that national championship game, but because the Houston Texans are in a place where I think there's a lot of people outside of the building that would like to see a change at offensive coordinator. What's your impression?
What is he supposed to do? Block? Is he an interior lineman? Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
No. That is a fair rebuttal. That is something that most people who would want to give him time are going to point to, right? Is that offensive line was not very good this year. Yeah. But with that being
hard to play with a bad offense,
hard to do that. But with that being the case, and obviously it's some overhaul needing to happen on the offensive line. Chip Kelly is a name that has come up if you do not end up with Bobby Slowick here in Houston next year. What is your immediate reaction to that, especially like, and what has been your reaction to Chip Kelly as offensive coordinator at Ohio State this year?
I mean, obviously Chip Kelly still has it. Like, he's still a really good, offensive minded head coach. His problem, it seems like, has been whatever he has to do, the CEO stuff, or go recruiting, or be the front man for a program, right? But if he can just dial up plays, you got to think that he's still, maybe he's not at the cutting edge. Like, maybe nobody's comparing him to Sean McVay or anything like that, or Ben Johnson, but he's still, one of the elite play callers out there. So I guess the issue is that, do the Texans, if Texans fans are hoping to have an Ohio State-like advantage over their competition with them, that's just not going to happen. But do they think that Chip Kelly can do some things that maybe Bobby Slowick can? Maybe, but I don't know that that's an upgrade, but Chip Kelly is obviously very good at his job, and he's got a lot more interest in it now, which is just interesting because all he did was take less responsibility and start working with more talented people.
Joel, realistically, staying on Chip Kelly here, what do you think the chances are of him actually leaving college, going back to the pros? Seeing as how his last stint in the pros, although he was the head coach in Philly. Seeing as how that didn't really go too well.
Oh, man. I don't think he's ever going to be a head coach again. I mean, unless he decides all of a sudden he wants to be the head coach at, like, Troy or something like that, Right. Because, he's already shown that I don't have the aptitude for this particular part of the job. And it's more important than ever before to be out there recruiting and doing that sort of stuff. Yeah. So, there's a lot of guys that could have done well with that collection of talent at Ohio State. So, NFL head coaching hiring is the flummoxing process. I never know. I never understand why this person's hot and why this person isn't most of the time. Yeah. So, yeah, if they think Chip Kelly is a great head coach, well, God bless them. Good luck.
Joel, before I let you go, because I realize I did not talk very much about the other team in this competition, Notre Dame. Just
a little more Notre Dame.
Yeah. I mean, look, Marcus Freeman had Marcus Freeman has done something phenomenal with this program, and I feel like we probably don't give Notre Dame enough credit for like constantly being in these championship spaces. Yeah. Like, how impressive is the job that Marcus Freeman has been doing? Decision to go through the or kick a field goal, notwithstanding.
Yeah, right. I mean, that was one of the. I mean, I don't like to talk about people who make fun of, but that. I mean, that was one of the dumber decisions I've ever seen in a game. Like in terms of a call. Like, I mean, you're still gonna have to score twice, man, and you're gonna have to do it with that offense against that defense. You might as well get to it now. You know, no need to kick a field goal at this time. But anyway, yeah, obviously Marcus Freeman has done a fantastic job this year. I mean. You know, Notre Dame has some things laid out for them. Like, they had a sort of an advantageous schedule, right? And, you know, they're still pretty loaded. I mean, Brian Kelly got that program running in the right direction, and Marcus Freeman has only added to it.
Brian Kelly some credit here. Interesting.
Yeah, man. I mean, Brian Kelly's a good coach. I mean, I don't know if you're an LSU fan, you might not feel that right now, but he's a good coach. And he built that program up pretty good. And, you know, Marcus Freeman – the advantages he has, he's pressing them. He's a telegenic, really thoughtful guy. And you can tell that his kids like playing for him. So that's good at retaining the roster that you have. But also, it helps you when Riley Leonard goes into the portal from Duke and you want to bring that guy as your quarterback, or you want to bring in Sam Hartman from Wake Forest as your quarterback like he did the year before. So he's doing really well. Is it sustainable? I don't know. But the one thing about it, you know, Ohio State got money. Notre Dame got money too, man. You know, and so that's going to be just as important as retaining Marcus Freeman. And you know, and how much better Marcus Freeman gets at that job. The fact that Notre Dame can compete for talent and they can pay for talent now, and it's all above board. Like, I mean, I think you're going to, you know, I think Marcus Freeman might. Who knows if he'll be back in the championship game anytime soon? But I think we can expect to see them in the playoffs. Pretty regularly going forward in the immediate future.
That's my guy, Joel Anderson. Joel from Missouri City. Read his latest piece. Ohio State is college football's first NIL national champion on The Ringer. You can hear him. It was the Press Box podcast on The Ringer, correct?
The Press Box podcast on The Ringer. That's right.
That's Joel Anderson.
On Thursday. Mm-hmm.
You said release on Thursdays, you said?
Yeah, Mondays and Thursdays, but I'm usually on Thursdays.
Got you. Joel Anderson. Joel, I appreciate you making some time, my man.
Appreciate y'all, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Joel.
There he is. Travel safe. That is Joel Anderson of The Ringer joining us after the national championship game in which Ohio State, they did it. All right, coming up next, you're in the loop, and it's typically where I hand it off to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. Again, Figgy not here. John not here. I'm here.
You here.
So I will handle Figgy's mixtape, including a question that I would like you to answer, dear listeners, and you, Chris, and you, Colin. What's the silliest way you've ever injured yourself? We'll go through some of those and also six weird things that can get you flagged by TSA. We'll do that next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed, it is Figgy's Mixtape right here on Sports Radio 610. I am not Figgy Fig. He is still out. I mean, he was out before, but he's definitely out with this snow. John Lopez is out as well. I'm Reginald Adetula with Chris Partee, Colin Neal on the ones and twos. And we're still keeping you going here on this Tuesday. Hope that your snow day is going well. I hope that you do have a snow day, because I know not everybody has that good fortune, right? Some people are essential. You got to keep things going.
Yeah.
In fact, I always want to salute like the working people just generally, but specifically the working people that have to do like the electricity stuff. Because as soon as something bad happens, you are in work. You are, in fact, in more work.
Yep.
And I know that the CenterPoint Energy and such, they was on their grind immediately, because I got a text ahead of this.
Did you?
Yesterday. I got a text at 6:45 from CenterPoint. I was like, yo, Winter Storm Enzo was coming, right? So, hey, you know, save energy and stuff. They were already like, look, It's going to be some stuff, and I know that
I love it.
There have been some houses. No, you don't. Don't do that. You know, you can't.
No, I'm saying that they're on point.
Oh, well,
that's what I'm saying.
I was like, I don't love the idea that they that they know that something's coming, so that they have way that they have to be on point there.
I don't love that, but yeah. The fact that they on it and they letting us know, I love it.
I know that there's a few is probably way too little, but there are some houses that have been without power through this, but thankfully it does not seem to have been like a large rash of those. So
let's hope not.
Hope that you find folks are doing all right. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your Tuesday. All right. The question that I asked is, hey, man, what is the silliest way that you have injured yourself? I don't think it's a far stretch to imagine what brought this back into utility and usefulness, considering that, hey, man, it is slick outside. And one of the things about being slick outside, especially if you start trying to foot it, is that if you do not have the appropriate footwear, you will end up horizontal.
Yes.
And that has happened to your boy before. Yeah.
How'd that play out?
That was actually when I was in Kansas. That was when I was in Kansas at Kansas State University, walking on the quad. I had not fully appreciated black ice. I knew what it is, but I had not fully appreciated it. And I was walking at night. You know, I was going to the studio because, again, things don't shut out in other places. When they get to the snowing and the icing and such. And so I was walking and I got one of those swoop. Now, I wouldn't say that's one of the silliest, because like there's funnier ways or there's sillier ways that you get hurt on like the really dumb ones. But again, let us know. 713-572-4610 what yours are, because I guarantee you me starting the betting at falling on black ice in a normal way is not going to be, it's not going to win. It is me starting at the lowest ante, because I know people get hurt in the funniest ways. And one of the reasons why I know this is that people online have weighed in on this. And there's all sorts of things, including this started from a woman in Indonesia trending because she managed to get her nose ring caught in the back of an office chair.
Okay.
So that is a silly way.
How do
way.
We even get to this point?
That is a very silly. Yeah, I was like.
That point.
Why was your nose all up on the office chair like that?
How do we even get there?
There's something up right there.
Yeah, like your nose was all on the office chair. Your nose should be well above and away from the office chair.
Yes.
But apparently that happened, and that got her injured. So the text line already warming up. Somebody said from the 713, over a decade ago, they were climbing on their roof to clear the dryer vent, which, by the way, good thing to do, because if you ain't done it in a little while, I guarantee you, you're not being efficient enough, and you run the risk of you know, some bad things happening. But they were going to clean their dryer vent, and then they said on the way, their foot slipped on the ladder. Oh. One leg fell through the ladder, racked themselves.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Tried to brace themselves with the arm on the heavy steel patio furniture.
No.
Hand slipped. Arm. It ended up hitting their arm on the chair. Screwdriver went in the back of the mouth and broke teeth.
Dang.
Yo,
they did a lot of damage.
That, woo.
Sounds like some Final Destination stuff.
Right?
Jeez.
That is a lot there. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I hope whoever that is fully recovered from their injuries, because that sounded pretty bad.
Yeah, I was like, that's got to be traumatic. From the 512, they said they were drunk in Spain. That's always a good way to start.
Nah.
And they tried to jump and slap a sign, missed, and faceplanted on the street. You, Kurt, my friend. Are the leader in the clubhouse. Fellas, do you have any ones that you would like to add to the bidding here?
This one actually, and it was more embarrassing than anything, because I was on a date.
Oh, yeah. I think you're in the range here. You might be able to take the lead.
I was on a date, and, you know, we're walking, had just had lunch or whatever. I think it was a lunch date, whatever. We're walking, and we're going to go. It's a nice day out. We're going to go to a park, take a nice walk, just chat. Continue to get to know each other. We go across the street. I step off the curb. One, I roll my ankle.
Oh.
Two, I also tweak my hamstring. So I'm now I'm laying.
I didn't know that's what we're talking about, a 3-4 inch drop.
It was a little bit higher curb, but still, but it was embarrassing though, on a first date going out and, you know, just totally eating it. Now I'm laying not in the middle of the street, but like on the side by the curb.
And you can't get up.
She can't pick me up. I weigh 230 pounds. She can't pick me up. So I'm just laying there looking.
You can't pick you up.
And I can't pick me up at the time. Uh-huh. You know, it took a couple minutes. I got back to it. But needless to say, you know, there was not a second date.
Oh, wow.
And now this was years ago. This was before I've been, you know, married and I'm divorced now. This is long before all of that. But it's something that sticks with me.
I imagine so.
It sticks with me.
I think that would do it.
It does.
Yeah, 100%. How about this? Some other ones that were put together on the internet. A guy waxed his floor, tried to do the Tom Cruise slide from Risky Business.
No,
didn't stop, and he busted his lip on the door frame, which is not nearly as bad as what was that viral? Was it like on Vine or something?
Uh-huh.
Where like there's a mom that kind of put some oil on the floor in the kitchen and yelled for the kids to come get their juice.
Oh, that come
slid
on,
right
man.
Into the oven and.
That's an all-timer right there.
Come on
classic.
Now.
That's a classic. So, yeah, man.
Ain't that borderline child abuse?
Probably.
Right, come on now.
Likely.
Come on, CPS.
Apparently, there was a woman who was singing Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid at karaoke.
Oh.
Got too into it and somehow tore her ACL.
Okay, come on now.
Sports level injuries while singing is something entirely.
While singing at karaoke on top of
that's
that.
Right. Well, I mean, you gotta show out.
That's next level right there. That is next level.
Who is that NFL player, defensive line for Chicago a few years ago? He jumped up in the air and did like the swee, and he like tore his.
Oh, the Sue? I don't remember who that was, but yeah.
That sounds familiar.
There have been multiple instances where like the player injuries are insane, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember. There was one that I immediately thought of, and I completely forgot it as I was going to say it. But yeah, man, there's been. Oh, it was the Nate Burleson. You remember when Nate Burleson hurt himself because he had pizzas in his passenger car, side of the car,
yeah.
And he tried to save it.
Yeah.
And then boom, like he got in an accident, hurt himself. Yeah, man, that is really tough. Oh, the person who tried to clean the dryer vent and had the worst thing in the world happen to them. They said that they're fully recovered. However, every now and then they have to go get a new bridge for their mouth. Which they're actually about to do this week.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And they have a second ladder store. I would never be on a ladder again.
Never, ever.
You would
never
not
find
in me
life.
On a ladder. Not once.
I would have to find someone to do it for me. There's just no way.
That is wild. Some other ones. Someone sliced their finger open on a disco ball. You never think of those.
Wait, hold on.
I don't know.
Man,
if the, I don't know if the disc. I don't have
what
any,
kind of disco ball. Was
I don't
this?
Have further. I don't have further details.
Is this the text line?
No,
or YouTube.
This was online.
Okay.
This was online.
Okay.
And I don't have any further details.
Yeah.
This one, I feel like you were asking for. It stood on a beach ball and fell into a coffee table.
Yeah, you were. Why are you standing on a beach ball?
Didn't need to do that.
You didn't need to. That was not a necessity to life.
No.
You didn't need to do that. You were showing out.
Necessary.
You were showing out.
A woman was washing her face in the shower, shoved her pinky finger up her nose, and then got a horrible nosebleed. So just like.
So she was digging for gold.
Yep. Well, not intentionally.
Okay.
She's just washing her face and then, you know, in the up and down motion.
I get it, but you got to be a little more cautious than that.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like, was that the first time?
That's pretty aggressive face washing, in my opinion.
Yeah, you might be doing too much.
You're doing the most.
You need to get something that, like, I don't know, chemically.
Don't
helps
scrub
you.
Your skin off.
Yeah.
You don't need to be scrubbing your skin off.
Like,
man. Just wash it.
It is soap. You know what I mean? Like, it will do the job.
It does its job.
You don't need to, like, I hope it wasn't, like, steel wool also.
Oh, God.
Involved
no.
here, right? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that was, it's like, you're doing a lot here.
Just doing extra damage.
Doing too much.
So,
right.
what about times when, like, you're, like a little kid? Like, when I was, like, 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, that's always a good one.
My mom told me to not touch the clothing iron.
Well,
I was curious, and I touched it.
Of course you were.
Yeah, that one feels like a typical kid thing, but yes. Oh, wow.
Uh-oh. We got a good one.
From the 713. Yeah. I don't think this is going to be the lead in the clubhouse, but it's a solid submission. They got 6 screws in their ankle. How you ask? Tripping on the curb, lighting fireworks.
Oh, see?
Fireworks is one of those things that it feels like I don't like doing because the risk of injury is high there.
Yeah, I'm not. No.
Like, I don't want to JPP it, but I also feel like there are these types of things where it's like, oh, I'm running away from the fireworks as I lit it, and then you just caught the curb.
So that made me think of another one when I was 6 years old.
See, this is the thing. I don't get to have as much fun here, but I guess I have more fun in the long term because I have not been injured all that much. I am fairly fortunate.
I've had a multitude of injuries, but that the firework thing made me think of something. So I grew up in the church, lighting the Advent candle. Lighting the Advent candle. They had us do it. You know, this is back in the day. They had us do it with matches, not the little, like, trigger gun.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go to light the candle, and I burn my finger.
Oh, you just let the match roll too long.
Yeah. So I haven't touched a match since then.
Why would you?
We're talking years and years ago. I have not touched a match since then.
We have technology now, and you add trauma into that? Yeah, no,
yeah,
I wouldn't.
No.
In fact, I've gone so far as I don't even use the little lighter with the fluid in the handle. I actually use what they call an arc lighter, although I'm rarely lighting something like important. It's usually just a candle.
Yeah.
They have the little arc lighter where it's actually electricity around the edge, and that'll light the candle.
Okay,
the wick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, man. Like the technology.
Technology works, man.
We got into a good place here. But it works. Man, I don't mess with a mattress rather either.
No.
There was one time though, I got like a cigar and I realized I didn't have like a torch for it.
Okay.
And so we had the mattress and I had the little whatchamacallit, the little wood stick that they give you.
Yeah.
And I was trying to do that and I was like, clearly I'm not doing this right.
Yeah.
And of course I have a healthy, and this is probably why I haven't had these stupid injuries. And I'm not saying this as a level of credit to myself. It's just.
It should be though.
I have a healthy skepticism of a lot of things. And so I'm like, I strike that match and unlike you where you're like, ooh, I let it linger too long. I'm like,
yeah.
One, two, yeah, we got to put this thing out. And we're getting a little too close to the hands. To put this thing out.
Yeah.
And did you light what you were looking for? Nope, but I'll light another match. It's fine. That one's expendable.
No.
On the YouTube, they said they were changing the pigtail on the dryer. What does that mean? I'm not sure exactly what that means, but they said instead of attaching it to the dryer, they plugged it in, touched the hot end, and electrocuted themselves. Yep. Shout out to all the people that work.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
Nah.
No, you get electricity in there, and that goes really, really poorly.
I'm good.
But I say all that to say, hey, man, there's a lot of really dumb reasons that people have gotten hurt. Please don't add any more, right? Be careful when you're on these roads. Be careful when you're walking.
Yes.
Stepping
off of curbs.
Remember, black ice does exist, right? It may look like it's clean. That might be, especially, that'll probably be more of a tomorrow thing, as I think obviously the snow has stopped coming down.
Yeah.
The sun is out, so it might melt, but then it might also freeze again.
Exactly.
So then that's when you really got that ice that you got to work at. So yeah, make sure that you be careful out there. Really, just stay in bed if you can.
You know,
if you can, just like spend the whole day in bed. It's what I wanted to do.
Or if you're like us yesterday at the station, sleep on a cot.
Just stay there
if you can,
or a couch,
something.
But yeah, take care of yourself. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, we'll get ready to hand it off to the fellas of the drive today. It'll be show. And Patrick Creighton will be in. I imagine there might be a story there. We'll get that later, but we'll do it next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, a little snow day broadcasting here for you in the loop on Sports Radio 610. We were going to be live and local for you. It is Reginald Atitula, Chris Partee, and Colin Neal on the ones and twos. Thank you guys for hanging out with us, especially on a day like today. I hope that we were able to give you some level of comfort, some level of enjoyment during this. I hope that you're having a good one, staying safe, staying warm. A man who we know is safe and warm because he did not come into work. One John Philip Lopez.
Well, that's a big assumption there, but I mean, you're not wrong.
Well, I mean, it is a big assumption. That is fair. But I knew that you would not. Well, I assumed at least that you would not be able to make it into work and then, you know, go gallivanting in the snow or something.
Right.
You know, I figured that you would stay warm.
Although I am going to go see if I can get my truck at least to the driveway here once this snow starts melting, which it seems like it's kind of starting to right now.
I mean, if the snow is melting, why not just come and stay at work so you can make sure to be here tomorrow?
I could do that.
Come join us and have a party. Well.
He's not doing that.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you
I
that.
Could do that. Get pitch a tent, so to speak.
There you go.
There was a tent here last night.
Nah, you lying.
I saw that.
Yeah, one of the hosts for one of the other stations, they had a tent down in the game.
A literal tent.
Very nice.
It was it's a nice tent too. It's a nice looking tent.
Lopez, you got a tent at home?
Oh yeah.
I'll bring
a Coleman stove, man. I'll bring my Coleman stove.
Hey, well, don't do that. We are still inside. We don't want to burn this thing down. A thing that has come down the chute this last hour, I guess, is that there was the Pro Football Writers of America All Rookie Team that came out, and Kalen Bullock does make his make an appearance on this list. And
yeah,
that
but
is
who didn't?
Yeah, he is one of the two safeties for the Houston Texans. However, another defensive rookie for this team, Kamari Lassiter, did not make the rookie team. The two rookies that were selected, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, both Philadelphia Eagles. John Lopez, go.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, obviously Kamari Lassiter probably, I mean, very much not to take anything away from those other cats now. I mean, they had great years, but kind of silly that he wasn't involved. Kalen Bullock, though, continues to be probably the best surprise by any stretch of what the Texans had as rookies. So I was happy, but not altogether happy 100% because I thought Lasseter should have been on there.
Yeah, and I guess it's tough because they were both very good for the Eagles. But, I mean, in that same capacity, you had these guys here with, I think, a lot better metrics. This ends up yes. being kind of a team success. Yes. And then, let's be honest, this is a very visibility, like the Philadelphia Eagles, it's bigger market.
Of course.
And it's just a wildly more visible team than the Texans, which is funny because it feels like the Texans are becoming more visible, but still not going to be in that same space.
Not right there with, like, the Eagles yet.
No,
yeah.
And especially not with the Eagles. The difference in success, at least when it comes to like the schedule and the record that they had this year, like the people are going to view the Eagles more highly. They probably should at this moment, and then they're going to turn and go, okay, but look at those rookie cornerbacks that they had. When in all reality, and maybe you know what? I do wonder how much of that is Derek Stingley being an All-Pro has somehow overshadowed Kamari Lasseter. Is that a fair?
Oh, thing I think you better get used to it. I think that, I mean, that happens perennially wherever there's a big time shutdown cornerback. Just go over the years, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean the other guy is not certainly capable of accolades, but a lot of times they get short shrift on that, you know?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. One of the things that we talked about earlier, which I know was something that you wanted to get in, so I guess I will give you an opportunity to do this if you really want to. But asking the question, so the Texans changed the system. That they have here, which in a way basically talks about the Bobby Slowick. It's going to be a conversation we have, I imagine, all week long and up until we get a certain level of clarity on whether or not he returns. Mm-hmm. But I know this is something that you wanted to talk about, so I will give you this opportunity to make sure that you fully get your work in today.
Yeah, look, I think you know, this is not only something that we're going to talk about. I think it's something they're talking about because, you know, as we mentioned earlier regarding the offensive line, you know, these are players that don't fit this system. So the question then becomes, you know, you're going to get rid of the players, you're going to get rid of the coach. That's 3-1 or 4-1. The problem is, I'm not so sure if they're sold on these players, you know, but I know they're sold on the system. I know that certainly D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick are very tight. They go way back. That was the first call he made when he got hired here. So, don't be so sure that, you know, usually you pick players over coach. Don't be so sure if you don't pick coach over and system over players.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be too crazy here if you have to make one selection over the other to look at the players and go, that was significantly beyond or below the standard of what you had, where it would make it so that's not so absurd, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely on the table. And I think, you know, D'Amico talking about he wants to take a week, you know, to kind of contemplate all this, that might be the discussion they're having, because as you know, decisions like this on coaches, they normally don't take a week. They take less than 12 hours. You know, usually you have that Black Monday, and whether it's, you know, coordinators or head coach or whatever, that decision is made. So clearly he could have already made a decision on the coach, but it sounds like it's something that they're contemplating.
Yeah, they're going to take a lot of time to think on it.
And I mean, for all we know, they may have made the decision already, but they're going to wait this week to kind of let that sink in and come back and then make that announcement, you know, maybe Monday, Tuesday, whatever it may be.
It's a possibility.
Well, they're also, I think they're sort of looking at the landscape to see who's getting interviews where.
Yeah.
And if they want to get their guys interviewed in here and how that might play out. So I think a lot of it is already sort of in motion.
Stupidest way that you have injured yourself, John Lopez, is...
Oh, my gosh. Let me count the ways.
Because you be out there fishing. There has to be at least one or two to happen on the boat.
The most recent one that I can remember, we talked about it on the Bite Me podcast, and I got deservedly lambasted and criticized. I was about to come back into the marina on my boat, and first time in my life, you know, 40 years on boats and stuff, I actually ran out of gas. Mm-hmm. And I knew I needed it, but I ran out of gas and I used the trolling motor to get back to the marina. No harm, no foul, right? Well, then the trolling motor died about 3 or 4 slots away from where my boat is parked. So I had to paddle my way into a slot so I could go get some gas. And it wasn't my slot, but into a slot to get some gas. And as I was paddling and I was getting up, I got a cramp in my hamstring and my calf, so I started flopping around on the deck of the boat like a fish that just got caught, and people were driving by wondering if I was having a heart attack or something. So goodness. It wasn't a horrible injury, but it was a very humiliating injury.
Hey, I feel that.
That is excellent. All right, John Lopez, I appreciate you still being a good sport, as we called you. Was it four? Did we get him five? Did we get five calls in?
I don't know.
Colin, how many calls did we get in?
We got four.
Four or five.
I thought it was four.
I think we're right about. So, yeah. I don't think we hit the over though. I think you set it at 4.5.
Yeah, I did set it at 4.5. All right.
Yeah.
Make it to work next time.
Well, maybe if we drop the call right now.
We're not gonna fake the number. It is what it is.
We didn't get there.
All right, Lopez.
If I don't have any cramps or any slides down a hill, I will be there.
All right, very good. All right, Ben. Talk to you later.
All right, we'll talk to you.
I realized that I made a mistake here because in being so enthralled in the conversations that me and Chris are having, I did not create space for one Ron the Show Hughley
right.
to have his space
in the building.
I try and be good about moving. So Chris, what am I asking you to do? Give me 30 seconds.
It's all right. So we gonna get Ron in here. We got Reggie moving out of the way. Come here. As we make our awkward transition here into the drive.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're missing someone.
Yeah, it seems like we're not going to get Clint today. I imagine that drive-in was not going to be very, very smooth for him.
Yeah.
And so we will get...
And I'm sure there's a story behind that.
Yeah. And I wonder if they have the story. That might be one that we have to get later. But we're getting show. We're getting Patrick Creighton in. And, of course, T-Mill.
Yes.
T-Mill made the drive. T-Mill made it in, though.
And he toughed it out.
He did tough it out. Shout out to T-Mill. Shout out to Show. You're not close neither, are you, Show? Like you got a little bit of a drive yourself in order to make it in, don't you?
Yeah, it took me about. Came in from Missouri City. About,
shout out Mo City.
Usually take me about 35. They shut down that Fort Bend Tollway on me, so I had to go around. It took me about an hour to get in.
Damn. That's not bad.
That's what Tyler said too. About an hour 10, something
that is
like
about
that.
What
yeah.
he said.
Yeah.
But I mean, coming in a little bit later because you know we're in a little bit earlier. Like, well, how was the drive itself? I know the time took a little while.
Yeah, it's first time I've ever driven in snow. And
okay,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm sorry, not in snow. This is the first time I've ever driven in snow, and like, ain't nobody got a truck.
Okay,
ain't got no plow truck.
Nothing.
These bad boys ain't been touched.
No,
like it's
you,
like,
you're driving
it's
like on just first, like real
like
snow.
Up,
real
like
real.
Only times I've had to get up real early in the morning, I'm the first one on the road driving. I'm like, damn, okay, gotta go back to the old Kansas City days of thinking like, okay, let me follow tracks.
Exactly.
Let me follow these tracks.
Exactly.
Let me hang out. But no, man, it was cool. As long as you get past the people that are scared to death out there driving about 5-7 miles an hour. You got to get around them. It wasn't too bad.
Okay.
All right. So we are both in the same circumstance that we are hosting shows today with dudes who spent the evening here at the station. Both PC and Chris here had to spend the night here, and apparently they were like heating up a can of beans over a fire and stuff. It felt like y'all had a little bit of a tough night, didn't you?
And watching Monday Night Raw till 3 a.m. We was up late.
I could have caught on Monday Night Raw. I ain't seen it yet, so don't.
Not gonna say nothing.
Don't spoil it for me. I heard Punk came at Hulk Hogan.
Yes, he did.
But that ain't my ministry.
you gotta sleep in your bed.
I've had times where it got real bad that I went out like I've gotta be stopped. I remember my old job in Kansas City was pretty rough. The only reason why I stayed to spend the night, after 30 minutes of attempts, I just couldn't get out. I couldn't get out of the parking lot. I couldn't get over that little, there was a little small hill. I tried for 30 minutes.
And that hill will get you every time, right?
Apparently, if you ask John Lopez, and maybe, was Dirty Red supposed to be in, or was this just like, all right, he not making it?
I don't know. I don't know.
He said we rolled.
I don't know what his plan was.
He was trying.
But
he's
too busy
playing with Olaf.
I know Baytown.
Yeah, I bet he is.
I know Baytown is deep, and I don't know how much experience he got. and driving in the snow.
I bet all it took was them baby girls saying, I want to build a snowman. He was like, I'm not going into work today.
I mean, I was out there shoveling. I mean, them people was looking at me like, what is that?
What's he doing?
For Clint Sterner, you are a wuss if you cannot handle the Houston heat, but he cannot handle a frigid cold at all.
Now, hold on, Tyler.
No, we've had this discussion. I'm not even being...
I don't know that he can't handle the cold. I just think maybe he's not confident in, like, the drive.
Yeah, well...
Excuse me, sir. What is that thing you are using to get the ice off of your window?
That's right.
I had that shovel rolling up that driveway. It was like people looking at me like... Like,
wow, where did he get that?
Wow, look at that. What's that? Like, coming over, taking a look at it. Can I hold it?
Taking pictures.
All right, that's where I leave. We're done in the loop.
We out.
Chris, I appreciate you hanging out with us. Appreciate Colin Neal. I ain't the one who said it now.